it. Look at my cleavage.
You are so brilliant. The DivaCast, 20 October 2008. Hey, this is number 114. Hello, everybody. We are the Divas, and I know you've all heard of us, and we're rich and famous.
We are? Wait, where's the riches?
Yeah. Can you guys donate some money on PayPal or something?
I want a PayPal button.
Because we're kind of broke. With the DivaCast, we have zero. Oh, Sharon just held up a sign. Ask for dollars.
She's got a sign that says homeless will work for podcasting.
No, podcast for money.
No, Divas for dollars.
Yeah.
You know what? That's not so far from the truth, though. It is.
We have how much in our bank account?
Sad. Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty scary, and that's got to go for our diva mirrors for our manic mommy's cruise.
I'm excited.
I know.
And Sharon, you will be going.
I will be.
And this is what I was going to say to you, Christy. Hey, Christy. Christy and I have been talking via email. She's a DivaCast and Words to Mouth listener.
What about Dear Zanny? Probably.
I don't know. I have to turn her on to that.
And Thank you.
And anyway, she was saying she listened to the show and she's like, you know what? Tell Sharon that even though the Manic Mommies like block of rooms are sold out, there's still availability on the Carnival Cruise.
Oh,
I think you're still going to come. You don't know it yet. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and we never told her what. Should we tell her?
What? Yeah, we did.
Dorothea.
The psychic. Yeah, we did.
You did. That we I was did. Going.
You didn't tell the listeners what Dorothea said about me. That's what we didn't talk about.
Well, that's not my information.
Well, you just brought it up.
I brought up Dorothea.
Right? Am I right?
Sharon, going.
You're not the only one losing your memory, honey, Sharon.
I am not. I did not.
We're gonna have to change the name eventually when we're all like, you know. Perimenopausal, full blown.
What do you mean? We already are.
Yeah.
We'll be like, okay, who are we?
Well, you were just talking about the fact that we're not talking about menstruation, sorry. But I mean, the fact that it's like, it happens at all kind of wacky times when you get older, just like when you are like 13. It's wacky, right? No.
What?
You were talking about this before we came on mic.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, why? How does this have to do with Sharon going on the cruise and what the psychic said?
It has to do with perimenopause and forgetfulness and your hormones.
What do you think I'm forgetting?
Is she forgetting?
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on. Okay, so hopefully I'll go on the cruise. Okay, before we started recording, I want y'all to hear the conversation basically between Suzanne and Carrie. Suzanne looks fabulous. She's lost all this weight.
Oh, stop.
And she goes and she says, oh, I'm going to have to put on a bathing suit.
No. That's not the conversation. She looked at me.
Oh, yeah.
It's she looked over at me and says, you do know we need to wear bathing suits on this cruise. Yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, she looks at my forehead and goes, when are you going to take care of that?
I did not
and
say, when are you?
And points to the crease
Carolyn,
the
I said,
eyebrows.
Yes. When are we going to have this taken care of? I said, we.
Okay, well, who says, but don't people say that, like that like blanket statement of
yes,
we?
Yes.
When you they and mean I have kept
you?
Talking. No,
yes.
Stop. You and I have kept talking about, don't you cast me as a bad mama here.
When are we going to take care of that little thing between your brows?
Carrie showed us a picture of herself in a bikini after she had babies and goes, look, I didn't even realize I had a six-pack still going on in my abs.
No, I showed you that. And you showed us a picture of you in like size 1 jeans and brought the jeans to my house and said, can you try these on and see if they fit?
Hey.
No, my point with that picture.
Did they fit?
And Suzanne, why didn't you bring them to my house?
Well, duh. Oh, I'm kidding. Oh, stop.
Okay, I'm kidding. That picture was me saying, people used to always say to me, you look like a teenage boy, blah, blah, blah. And I just, that whole thing, that whole story was that I never appreciated what I had
when
I had it. I didn't see it. I honest to God did not see it. And then when I get to be 43 and I go look back and I go, holy crap, look at that. What was I, you know?
Yeah,
that's what that was about.
Why is that?
It wasn't me going, oh, look at me. Look how great I looked.
I know that. I do know that.
Okay.
No, I really do know that. Come on. I'm not like that. I think that women, we don't appreciate what we have when we have it, especially when we're younger.
We don't. And we're like comparing ourselves to everybody else and everything. You know, media and whatever.
I mean, I
still love the Dove commercial.
Are they still doing it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
And it talks about
the whole campaign.
Right. Inner beauty and how
it's real women, real women, real beauty.
But they're targeting younger children. They're targeting young girls to make sure they understand that the media, all these touched up photographs,
oh my gosh,
all this stuff.
So unreal.
If you go to Dove campaign and I guess
.com.
Dovecampaign.com, they show this one girl, this woman who comes in and she looks very ordinary. Okay. And they show the process of turning her into this
glamour puss.
Yeah. And it's all done on the computer.
Oh my gosh. Of course it is.
So it's like, you know, it's not real. And that's what.
And nobody can live up to that.
No.
And it's such a disservice that we show our girls or our daughters see that. And then they aspire to be that way when it's impossible. There's no way any of us can be that.
You know, though, the actress. Her name's America or what's her name? America.
Right. She's Ugly Betty. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
She was in that movie.
Traveling Pants.
It was Traveling Pants, but there was a movie before that. In both of those movies, she was, you know, not the skinny
right
actress. And she, I love the fact that she embraced what she looked like. And but recently I've seen her on magazine covers. And she's lost a lot of weight and she's kind of, I don't know if she's just getting healthier or what it is. I don't want to judge her, but I'm kind of like, you know, has she succumbed to the whole thing or is she just getting in her groove and, you know, running or whatever it is? And just that's just the way her body has morphed
I think there's a lot of pressure because there's a lady that I know who's her daughter's a friend of my daughter and she is trying to progress in her singing career. Her daughter's homeschooled and they do all these travel. They travel a lot and she's got all these connections going. And anyway, the daughter has been going to Nashville because she's doing a channel on Delta Airlines. It's going to be a kids channel and she's going to be basically the hostess, if you will. And all the stuff is going to be interviews with teen idols and songs and some of her songs will be featured, but they've been taking her to Nashville and the mom's saying, you know what? More and more, they try to push us out. She goes, more and more, they're trying to push me out so they can take over my daughter.
So that they can
and she's
groom
13.
Her.
So, I mean, they see her as the product,
right?
Not
of course.
A child,
no,
not
she's a
daughter. Not
she's a dollar sign.
Yes, she is a product. And she said, it's just so interesting because, you know, I want this for my daughter, blah, blah, blah. So it's very, you know, conflicting for this mom because she goes, she's still just 13 years old.
Well, who's the American Idol? Black? She was African-American. Is it Jennifer?
Yes, Hudson.
Okay, have you seen a picture of her lately?
No.
She's small.
No.
Yeah, I just saw it the other day, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's
she won the Tony, right? Didn't she win?
I don't know, but
Broadway.
I'm just saying.
Oh, no, she won. She did the movie, too. She won Best Supporting Actress. She won an Academy.
For Dreamgirls?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay,
I loved
but Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
loved
Suzanne,
her.
We love that movie, but Dreamgirls, she was herself.
Right.
Now, I opened up a magazine, I'm like, oh, my gosh. She's like little.
Really?
So I wonder, it's like, it is, I don't know. I don't know.
We are very, very visual kind of, you know.
And yeah.
And women, we're very critical of each other. It's
competitive.
Well, I know, but I think we're so critical of ourselves. Like you just said at the beginning of the show that I've lost all this weight. Yes, I have lost weight And I'm just trying to get back to the way I used to be, you know, before I had cancer, you know, because I think when I got sick, I went through a depression and I just felt like, whatever, I can eat whatever I want. I'm like, I took care of my body before I got sick and it didn't freaking pay off. So my attitude was, if I want a piece of cheesecake or two pieces, I don't care. If I want more pasta with butter on it, I don't care. I thought, oh my God, I ate organic food 20 years before people even knew what it was, because Robin and I had the privilege of living out in California and having that. I took care of my body. I did all that stuff and I still got very sick. And so I was so mad. And so I just thought, I'm just going to do whatever the heck I want to do.
Okay. And what's the psychology of cancer too? Don't people tend to get heavier when they survive cancer? Is that a sign of, I don't know, I've heard that somewhere along the line. Like,
I think it can be a sign of
preserving
health.
Yeah.
You know, and I know my oncologist, when I was heavier, he loved to see me kind of plump and perky because, you know, I'm one of the patients that looks good. You know, so he's like, oh, yeah, you got
meat
on your
body. You're not emaciated.
Yeah, you're right. You're not emaciated. You look good. Mm-hmm. So, so he liked to see that. So it's just a whole different attitude. And then finally, I thought, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm done. I want to get back to the former me that I know and I feel good at.
Let me ask you this question because it just came to mind. Mm-hmm. My husband is doing some work for a church friend of ours who has turned out to have breast cancer. And I just found out from him that, I mean, I kind of talked to her because she used to help out with youth, but she doesn't anymore. And I found out from him that she was getting treatments every single day for breast cancer. And I just didn't know I just never heard of that before.
Sure. She's going for radiation.
Okay. Then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said it's a turn. I just ran into her yesterday at the grocery store and, she looks so good. And so here's the question I have. When somebody has cancer and they haven't lost their hair and there's no outward sign of having cancer and all the stuff that you're dealing with, like, what does that feel like? You know what I mean?
Do you remember?
You're one of those people. You looked great. You had hair.
Do you remember? Because you took me to several of my treatments.
Yeah.
People. I still looked healthy when I had cancer, and yet I was very, very sick. Mm-hmm. I mean, internally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, is that ever hard, because people actually almost accuse you of, well, you don't look sick. Mm-hmm. And I remember even a doctor saying to me, she was kind of bitchy. Mm. Mm-hmm. And she came in and she said, well, you must be doing pretty good because you've got makeup on. And just in an accusatory.
Wow, that's a woman thing. You look better than me and you got cancer.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap. I can't believe she just said this to me. And, and I'm thinking, I don't even know whether I'm even going to survive this. Mm-hmm. And she said that to me. And, you know, half the time, I mean, I would get ready for treatment. I would wash my hair and I'd just pull it back, slick it back with gel. I wouldn't even like blow it dry and do it all, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, it was kind of an awkward place for me to be in because I did say that to her, but you look so great, you know? And then I thought,
lovely.
Well, that's so freaking lame. I mean, she's probably thinking, whatever. You know, I mean, it's kind of, that is such a hard, it's so hard to know what to say
it
to
is.
People who are suffering. And this kind of goes into a recent loss in my family. My nephew was killed. Not my nephew. It's my cousin's son. And
he
was 24, had the world by the balls.
Handsome.
Really.
Handsome.
Good looking guy.
Handsome.
Graduated, you know, college, was living in D.C. and just got hit by a car crossing the freaking street.
Unbelievable.
Gone.
Unbelievable.
Gone. And so, you know, I mean, I couldn't make it to the funeral because I had other plans already in motion. But I get emails from my cousin and my aunt and say, you know, 700 people showed up at the funeral.
Oh, wow.
And all these wonderful stories. I mean, it's almost like I wish I could have been there. Like, I want a video of it. But Suzanne, this is a question for you. My thing was I talked to my aunt and I'm pretty comfortable with grief. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Yeah, you are.
But when she started telling me, I you know, there's that such a fine line between asking questions about what happened. Like, she called me and left this message. We've had a really horrible thing happen in my family, in our family. And I go, I don't want to call because I know somebody's died. And I have my other cousin's son is in Afghanistan. So of course I'm like, oh crap. Or my uncle's passed away, you know. Never in a million years thought that this kid is gone. And so she starts, you know, we have our conversation and she starts to get a little choked up, and I kind of give her the permission to kind of go. Mm. And then I hung up and I kind of felt like, wow, was that my own feelings of, you know, not feeling comfortable? Should I've just let her? Because I've been on the phone with people that have cried about their loss and I'm okay with that. But that, and I have not called my cousin because Johnny and I have never talked on the phone. He's older than me. We've never really picked up the phone and said, hey, how's it going? We just haven't. His kids are older than mine. But when we get in the same circles, it's fine and it's great. And he's a cool guy and whatever. But to pick up the phone and call him and go, hey, I'm really sorry about your loss or whatever. I'm really sorry about Ian and da 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 da. Just seemed kind of, I don't know. It just didn't seem like the normal thing to do. And yet I'm struggling with, well, do I call him or I don't call him?
Yes.
You know?
Yes, you call.
I do call?
Yes.
Okay.
It's always better to call. And even though you need to know he may reject you.
That's fine.
And if you can handle that, absolutely.
He would never reject me. He would never say, I don't want to talk to you. I mean, that's not.
No.
What do you mean?
I mean, he may not be receptive. He may
just say, thank you very much.
Exactly.
He may. And that's fine.
And that's his own place of where he just can't even go there.
Yeah.
It's always better to call or make a comment or to reach out. That's what I want to say. It's always better to reach out.
But what about a card? Are you saying a card? Are you thinking?
You know what the funniest thing is? It's not funny, but it's, you know.
The irony?
Yeah. It's like I talked to my aunt. My cousin Sue, his sister, emailed me, or I emailed her initially, and then she emailed me. And I said to her, you know, because my father, my dad, always had a special place in his heart for Johnny, the dad. And so I said something to the effect that my dad was probably there and welcomed him and da-da-da-da, you know. I just kind of said that, you know, and that was such a sense of comfort for them. She told me that she talked to Johnny about it and how they all like broke down and then they laughed and because, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And so I know that he knows that I'm thinking of him, and I put out the email that I was praying for them and, you know, all of that, but I haven't talked to him directly, and I have a card and it's just sitting. I have written in it, but it's so hard for me to find the words. I think that when somebody loses a child, it's just so different than losing anybody else in your life. And I can't pretend.
It's the biggest loss anyone can go through is losing a child.
Yeah.
And then it's doubly complicated when you lose it, when you do it suddenly. Oh, yeah. My God. There's no bigger loss than that.
And
that's
I can't
it.
Pretend to know what that feels like. So it's very difficult to write,
so
you know.
Don't. Then you say that. Then you own it.
That's what I said. I'm like, I have no words. I just don't. Yeah.
And that's,
you know?
But that's okay because that you're being real.
Yeah.
I think to be real, you can't sit there and pretend you know
what that's
like.
Okay, so that's my dilemma is I've got the card. I'm going to send it. And I have a really cool, Anne Lamott had the coolest quote about grief and about death and about, you know, being heartbroken and living with, you know, it's kind of like dance. What did she say? It's like having a broken leg that never really heals, but you learn to dance with the limp. And I love that. And I always like give that to people because I think it's really
beautiful.
Was healing for me with my dad. Because it's like people always say, oh, you'll get over it with time. And you don't.
No.
You don't get over it with time. Mm-hmm. But it's something that you just, it's always kind of there, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? But so I kind of struggle with, do I call him and go?
Carrie, what do you want to do?
I don't know. I kind of want to just send the card.
Then send the card, sweetie.
But then I feel like if I just show up the next time, whenever that will be, 5 years from now, that I'm in Pennsylvania.
But
and
it doesn't
see him,
mean you have to call now or never. It means you can send the card and then 6 weeks.
Because
call.
We know, don't we?
Yeah.
That like it's when everybody clears out and the house is quiet, that, you know.
It's typically about roughly, and this is generalizing, typically about 6 months after the event that somebody has died. That's when grievers really start to hit rock bottom between 6 to 9 months.
Like when you realize they ain't coming back.
Well, you realize they're not coming back, but you're done with all of the initial busy work of filling out insurance, getting death certificates, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when your support is actually dwindles because people, you know, and besides
you
that,
move on. Yeah.
You move on. And besides that, oftentimes within a community, another event happens.
And now the focus is on someone else.
But the other part of that is before, until you have lost somebody close like that, I can speak for myself, you don't realize.
You don't get it.
Like when I had lost, when Joe had lost his mom, I was like, after 6 weeks, I'm going, okay.
Come on, get out.
6 weeks, I'm going, shouldn't this be over by now?
Yeah.
Okay, I lose my dad and I'm like, oh, no. And I had to apologize to him. Like, okay, you know what? The whole first year without your significant whoever it is sucks because you miss them in every, you know, whatever it is, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Well, you have to, the first year is just about the year of firsts and the first time that you'll ever be without your loved one on those occasions. You know, I just wrote on, you know, as many of our DivaCast listeners know, I do this other show, the Dear Zanny Show, DearZanny.com. And I just wrote about complicated grief because on Halloween Day is the anniversary of my brother's death, where he was killed in an American airline plane crash 14 years ago. And I thought to myself, 14 years? God, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's older than my child. And yet my heart has felt so heavy this year. And so I love what you said about Anne Lamott saying that it's like your leg and you learn to dance with a limp. And that's the way I feel. I really miss my brother. And let me tell you something. He drove me crazy.
Yeah.
He and I fought like cats and dogs. But I really, really, really miss him. So you don't, and time is not an accurate measurement. If anyone out there is grieving, you know what? Call the DivaCast. Call Dear Zanny. Please ask questions. Don't suffer out there alone. I've got great books on the Dear Zanny website, and that's Z-A-N-N-Y. As grief resources. And you can call either the DivaCast or Dear Zanny at 678-884-0524 and leave us a voicemail and ask your question. But people often erroneously assume that time is an accurate measurement of healing. It's not. You have got to process the hell out of your pain. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it ain't going nowhere except, you know, you're burying it and it won't come out.
You know, what's interesting, when my dad died, my brother said something to the effect of, or actually, I shouldn't say that. My sister-in-law told me that my brother said or felt a certain way, which was that that something to the effect that he had lost his father a long time ago.
Wow.
Okay. That the relationship was broken a long time ago, kind of that kind of thing. And I thought, that's going to come back to bite you in the ass at some point. Yeah, Am I wrong? Yeah. I mean, I just thought, you know, if you don't deal
with... Well, do you really think your brother said that?
Yeah, that was my first
thought. Because which sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but my brother, I mean, he does say, he's like, you know, my dad had said some things to him that sort of...
Maybe we're
changed
hurtful,
the relationship from father-son to kind of an equal relationship that he didn't think was appropriate or whatever. I don't know. But that, you know, he probably feels that way. But I think that, I don't know. I mean, I kind of, when I hear that kind of stuff, I go, ooh, you know, you're not really processing when you really lose somebody or you're not.
It's so different to have an emotional type of death than a physical death, because with an emotional cutoff with a parent, there's always the hope that things can get repaired.
Mm-hmm.
But a physical death, that possibility, it's done. The finality of it is, it's done.
And sometimes I think, well, the stuff that you don't forgive in somebody like a parent or somebody that's close to you, I don't know. It can come back and bite you in the butt in another way, or you're not forgiving that part of you.
You've got to, that can just manifest into so much.
Well, it eats away at you if you don't handle it. It's like an emotional cancer. Mm-hmm. It grows out of control and just will have its way with you and ravage your body or your psyche.
Yep. Yeah. That's one thing. I mean, I've always...
It has a lot to do with forgiveness.
Yeah, you've got to, and forgiving yourself as well as others. You know, if you're part of the screw
absolutely.
Up or what, you know, that's moving on.
I mean,
wow, we have gotten so way off topic, you guys.
I don't even know what our topic was.
I know, but this one is about you know what? This one's about grief, and you know what? That's okay, because to me, there's going to be some listener out there that has just lost somebody, and they're going to so resonate with what we say.
Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just go with it.
Okay.
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 We are closing with Strive Band, and the name of the song is Just a Little More Time Now.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, thanks, everybody. Perfect. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Email us, steve@thedivacast.com. Call us.
678-884-0524.
See you next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Nothing's in